This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
With Austin Bechtel behind the glass and taking part in this conversation and taking your calls, he's a multi-talented guy right here at 412-928-9370. Bob Pompiani with you until 2 o'clock, soon to be joined by Jeff Hathorn, sports director here, who have his take on a lot of these different topics. One of them, and I mentioned this earlier, is that Adam Schefter now saying that he's hearing more and more that Aaron Rodgers may decide to retire. We all knew that was a possibility, but that may explain why he's taking a long time making this decision, Austin. I mean, I don't know what, there's no other choice here unless the Vikings reemerge, and you know their GM the other day and their head coach didn't guarantee anything to J.J. McCarthy.
I don't believe it, Bob. I don't believe this talk about Rodgers in retirement. I really don't. I think that this might be somewhat of a ploy for Rodgers, either to at least get the Vikings enticed by him, or he's trying to get more money out of the Steelers. Those are the two ways that I look at it. I don't think that he'd go through all the trouble of flying to Pittsburgh, having a 6-hour conversation, going through that, seemingly behind the scenes wanting to play for the Vikings and trying to escalate things there, and then ultimately retire. I don't think he wants to go out the way that he did against the Jets, and that's pretty much what he said, too, at the end of the year. I would be not shocked, but I would be somewhat surprised if Rodgers decides to retire.
Yeah, me too. I think he's going to play somewhere, and it may not be even be at the beginning of the season. Who knows? That's also an option. It may be a distant option, but it's one that he can tell the world, I'm here, I'm going to train, I'm going to be ready in case somebody needs me at some point of the season. But I still think the Steelers are where he will end up. It's just, it's kind of mind-boggling why it's taken so long to do it, unless it's some already handshake agreement to be on the Pat McAfee show or something of that nature. I don't know. But in the meantime, they have to prepare for a plan B if they don't have that. And the plan B would have to be bringing in some sort of veteran, probably drafting someone. We'll see how this goes. It's 412-928-9370. By the way, did you see the I don't know if you're like me. I think you appreciate basketball. I know you play it. The NBA last night had a great finish between the Lakers and the Pacers. It was a tip-in of a Luka Doncic missed shot by LeBron James. And somehow nobody accounted for him on the miss. I mean, he just let him there. And he barely got it in, but he got it in. But I still think Oklahoma City and Cleveland are going to meet in the finals. I know a lot of people disagree with that. Those are the two best teams. Cleveland's run into a little bit of a problem right now. But OKC is just, they're going to end up with 75 wins.
Yeah, and SGA should end up winning MVP.
He should. And Jokic in another year, Jokic has MVP material all written. He should win, but because SGA hasn't, he will win it.
Do you think there's Jokic fatigue, though, Bob? Like MVP fatigue with somebody?
Yeah, I think that happens, and it will happen again in all sports. I mean, you saw it a little bit maybe with TJ Watt not getting Defensive Player of the Year because he had one and Myles Garrett got one. You've seen it. You know, Shohei Ohtani's going to run into that once in a while, I think.
And Lamar, too. Like, I think Josh Allen should have been MVP. I think he was the most deserving, but a lot of people made the case that Lamar should have been.
Right.
I'm sure a couple of people might have voted for Josh Allen, too, because, well, Lamar's been there, done that, too. He's won his MVPs.
Yeah, I think Casey Jokic, he's having an unbelievable – he's averaging a triple-double. How do you not give an MVP to that? Of course, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander has been terrific. We welcome in Jeff Hathorn, 93.7 The Fan Sports Director. Jeff, I know you were at Pitt, correct?
Were you just ripping LeBron's son?
Me? No. I think that was Stephen A. Smith.
I often get you guys confused.
No. So what do you now? This word comes out of Adam Schefter. He was on ESPN Milwaukee that Rodgers may be, and it seems like it's increasing talk of retirement. Is that a ploy? Do you think that's a real thing? And what do they do if he doesn't come here?
I view that 100% as a ploy. I want more money. I want something else. Excuse me. I want to see if another team's interested. I don't pretend to know anything to get into Aaron Rodgers' head or know what he's thinking. But the fact that all of a sudden, after hearing nothing from Aaron, that now Schefter, who is the tightest reporter ever with agents, comes out and says, well, he's kind of thinking he may not play. So does he want more control? Does he want more money? Does he want more years? Does he want more another team? I mean, here we sit again.
Yeah, here we sit again. The question is, how long will we be sitting on this? How long do you think this is going to take before it's resolved, one way or the other?
Don't you have to know before the draft?
Yeah, I think the draft is a deadline. If there is no written deadline, the one that's understood is, I need to know in this draft, because this will impact what they do in this draft.
Well, not that I want them to go out and reach for a quarterback if he doesn't.
Right.
But it gives you an idea of, like, at least we need another body. Even if it's not in the draft. I mean, he's entitled to do whatever it is he wants. He's got all the power, it seems like, right now, at least from a Steelers standpoint. And whatever he's going to decide, he's going to decide. I mean.
Well, as I said all along, I don't know how you felt. I thought Justin Fields was the perfect guy for now. Until they redraft the position and try to figure out what their next franchise quarterback. And there is potential upside on Justin Fields. I would never rule that out. And I think that's the one thing you don't get with Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson. You know that it's a diminishing situation on the other end. With Fields, there could be some stuff left that takes it to a different level.
He's 15 years younger than Aaron Rodgers.
And he runs better than any quarterback in the game,
so,
I think.
So my reason for Justin Fields is you get a young guy that maybe you catch somebody. Maybe this is the guy. Even if Aaron is great, he's not the guy going forward.
Right.
He's just someone that's going to be there for a year or two. Same with Russ. But with Justin, if you pour into it and he becomes successful and becomes anywhere near some of the quarterbacks in the AFC, then maybe you have a chance for something going forward. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But like they just keep kicking this quarterback thing to the curb. And that being said, the worst thing they could do, and what they did last time, is reach. If they don't think Jackson Dart is worth it in the first round, then don't feel like you have to take a quarterback. I can say this now because Joe's not sitting there.
Joe will make the case to trade up to get him wherever he may be, but he may be gone a lot earlier.
Might be. I've seen a mock with a legit, I think it was NFL Network, that had quarterbacks 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, I've seen that too. So could very well be that way. And I wonder if the Giants, now they have Russell Wilson, along with Jameis Winston, and let's not forget Tommy DeVito, will they take Shedeur Sanders? Will they take Jackson Dart at number 3? They're going to be sitting there on the board. Or do you think they'll trade that pick? They need help in a lot of other areas. If they don't have the quarterback that they want and he's gone, would they take another quarterback just because they're sitting at 3?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, what if Cam Ward falls? For some reason, Tennessee decides, you know what, we're not going to go quarterback here. We think Hunter is a generational player, and they go in that direction. And Cleveland,
they could
decides to go Abdul Carter, and you're sitting there, and it's like.
Oh. By the way, Austin informed us that Abdul Carter is not taking part in the Penn State Pro Day today, or when is it?
Yeah, it's tomorrow. And
he doesn't need to.
Drew Rosenhaus said he's continuing to rehab his shoulder, which, I mean, he played in the playoffs and kind of surprised he's still rehabbing. Is there a little bit more to that than meets the eye?
Really, probably the only thing for him that he could do is hurt his draft stock right now.
Probably. He's going to be a top 3 pick.
But does it hurt not doing any of this? He didn't do it at the combine. He doesn't do it here. Is there a little lingering feeling out there that, maybe there's something more here that we don't know about Does it damage it from that point of view?
I think at the combine, everybody goes through medicals. So I think they know his medicals. Now it's just, I mean, if he goes out and he doesn't bench as much or, I mean, even at the pit pro day yesterday, there were guys that didn't do certain things because they thought it would only hurt them.
What was your takeaway from the pit pro day? Because it looks like they're not going to have, as they've had in the past, some high-end guys. I think Narduzzi has 28 guys have been drafted since he took over the program in 2015, whatever it was. And so now you have, you know, Gavin Bartholomew's probably the best, although I think Saul's the kicker has a chance to really be somebody who is drafted at some point of this draft. He's pretty good, and he's been consistent.
I mean, if you go by the numbers yesterday, Brandon George was insane. He bench pressed 225 28 times and then had a 42.5-inch vertical as a 6'3", 246-pound linebacker. He 42.5, and then he ran a 4.640. I mean, like, that stuff is amazing, but you have to separate it. I mean, like, he even said, like, I'm not delusional enough to think I'm one of the top linebackers. But I think Narduzzi summed it up well. He said, we have good, steady NFL players. Like, they haven't had anyone recently where you've been like, oh, wow.
But that trends to normally 5th, 6th, 7th round, right?
Yeah, and I think that's where you probably see Bartholomew. If Sauls does get, if they decide to draft a kicker, I think Sauls is one of the best. What's on his resume that other kickers don't have is, I kicked in Acrisure Stadium. I made 50 yarders right in Acrisure Stadium.
That helps.
Other kickers can't say that. Can't say they've kicked in those type of conditions. So, yeah, I think Sauls, I think there's a potential for a Carter Warren. There's a potential for a Donovan McMillan.
Yeah, he looked pretty good yesterday,
Township,
too.
Yeah. I mean, I think P.J. O'Brien, I don't know how many of those guys are going to get drafted, but they'll all get looks, and they'll have to cut their teeth on special teams and see if they can figure out a way to make it in the NFL.
The big news today, of course, opening a baseball season for all but two teams, 28 teams in action today, including the Pirates down in Miami, Jeff. Skeen's on the hill, but it's interesting. One of our previous callers looked at today's lineup and wondered why there were two well, Tommy Pham specific. He's a right-hand hitter. There's a right-hand pitcher who's really good when he's on his game in Sandy Alcantara.
Alcantara.
But he hasn't pitched last year. He was injured. He was a former Cy Young winner. The guy can deal, certainly. Why not Jack Suwinski instead of Tommy Pham? It's opening day, and I suppose they brought him in as a free agent signing, and you know he's the guy they're going to throw out there. But it seems to me that a left-hand hitter, the odds are that he should have a little bit more success potentially. But Suwinski strikes out a lot also.
I mean, not that Pham's numbers are insane, but he's probably more likely to work a way to get on base than Jack Suwinski. I mean, Suwinski's been better in spring training and cutting down on the strikeouts, but he strikes out a lot. I think even if he were to return to form, he was going to strike out a lot, and that's why you have Pham.
Yeah, but he does give you that long ball threat more so than Pham. You know, and if you're a team that struggles to score runs, if he catches on to one pitch that comes over the plate fat and he hits it.
Bob, you and I probably won't like talking to Pham because he can be tough to deal with from what we hear. But he's also a guy that's going to go in that room and he's going to call people out. I don't know how that's going to go over. Mm-hmm. If he has some type of success and can back up what he's saying, I like it. That he'll go in there and if somebody's dogging it, and he's already done it in spring training where he's called guys out on the field for stuff they've done. I don't think that's such a bad thing with this group to have somebody like that. I mean, we'll see. If he stinks, it's like when Rowdy went over and put his arm around Bednar when he was hitting 120. It doesn't really do much for you. But if you're hitting 300 and one of the leaders on the team and you do leadership-type things, it can be very valuable.
412-928-9370 is the number to call if you'd like to get in on this Pirate conversation as well as Steeler stuff. Jeff, I want to ask you about Andy Rodriguez. He's playing at first base today, and he hasn't done that all but a couple of games in the spring training Grapefruit League. They've had so many first basemen over the years, and this year it looks like three people potentially can rotate there, including Triolo and Frazier. I just was a little surprised that Davis didn't get a look at first base. If they're down on him as a catcher, why not? You need his bat. That's what he at least has potential to show you. Why wouldn't he get a shot? at this first base vacancy, which right now, until Horwitz comes along, is going to be wide open.
I mean, I think we all saw him in right field. Maybe they figure that that type of defense is what you get at first, and it's not worth it.
But are they guaranteed that Rodriguez or
Rodriguez
or anyone
has at least
else?
Played there a little bit and practiced there a little bit. I think Limits and I are on the same page with Endy. I'm boldly saying that he's going to hit 25 doubles, 15 homers, and have a 350 OPS on base.
On base, yeah.
I think he's going to be one of their better hitters, Jeff.
He's always hit.
Yeah.
And he can do it from both sides of the plate. And I think he, just like he did in this lineup and at the end of spring training, he is going to force his way to have to play him because he hits.
And it should be at first.
And his attitude is the best. It's like Jack Wilson. He comes to the park every day and he's like, even when he was rehabbing, he's in the, you know, he's having to watch everybody play. He'd come in the Pirates clubhouse for the few times he came up for checkups or whatever. And he's just like, all smiles, let's go. And
that's awesome. And I've heard
I love
the same
that
exact
him.
Thing about him. But what's the plan then for Davis? Where does he emerge at some point? Because we had, I think Noah Hyles on here the other day said he'll be up here sometime.
I'm sure he will.
But where and how?
That's a great question. That's where you have to see what happens in AAA. Do they work him somewhere else? Or is he the guy that spells McCutcheon when he's not DHing? But I don't know if I understand that because they want Reynolds to play every game, but they don't want him to be in the field every game. So you would think some of those DH opportunities would go to Reynolds or to Sawinski or to somebody else. So if you think Davis might be the backup catcher in DH, well, then how is all of this going to work? I'll say this for Davis. Davis hit a ton out of the ball early when pitchers are just trying to get the ball over. When it got tougher, the numbers dropped. So I don't think it's such a bad thing for him to go back down to AAA, put a little stretch together, and then force the Pirates to have to make some difficult decisions on what they're going to do with the roster.
As far as the starting rotation now, I'm not as optimistic as I was with Jared Jones in it, of course, because I thought they had a top three that could have been really good with Skeens, Jones, and Keller, and then some other guys filling it out. But now that Majinski's in there, along with Heaney and Falter, I feel like there needs to be better options. And I really thought Harrington would get the opportunity. He's been knocking on the door a few times. He hasn't gotten it. Do you think we see him at some point?
So, I mean, Majinski was a first-round pick. He was a really good pitcher at South Carolina.
But more in a relief role. I thought he'd be a guy in the bullpen
They had transitioned him into a relief role. And they decided, this is before the injury, that they were going to stretch him out to make him available for these type of opportunities. And then they could always work him shorter. I mean, you can't really stretch a guy out during the season, but you can shorten a guy's opportunities during the season. I think people will hate this. I think it's smart. It's a couple of weeks, and then you can call Bubba up and save a year of control.
That's fine, as long as they do it.
Bubba wasn't pitching that well in spring training. Go work on a few things, get a few starts in, save a year of control, and bring him up. Same with Harrington. That's where I'm at with it. I think Majinski is good enough for a couple of starts.
And then he'll end up in the bullpen somewhere.
And he'll end up in the bullpen.
At someone else's expense, who knows? Their bullpen, I kind of like the lefties in the bullpen. I think Ferguson and Borecki are both going to be good and helpful in that regard. So we'll see. The question will be David Bednar. Can he return to the form?
And if not Bednar, can Santana or Holderman?
Santana's given you reasons to believe right. that he's pretty good, right?
I think a sneaky good ad in that bullpen is Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you look at his splits, you look at his overall numbers, you're like 6 ERA. Then you look at him on the road and not pitching in Colorado. The numbers are pretty good. I mean, there are a long list of pitchers that struggle pitching in Colorado. So when you look at his road splits from last year, they actually weren't that bad.
412-928-9370. We have a caller on the line here who wants to talk some football as we've been doing basically a potpourri of things here today. Austin, who's next?
Here is Bill in Uniontown.
Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
What's up, Bill?
Hey, I just about the Steelers wanting to go after, you know, Rodgers for a quarterback. I just don't see how it works. I would rather just see him take that money and I think they could use some free agents. The offensive line really concerns me a lot. You know, they got a lot invested in it, and they didn't do very good last year. I'd like to see them just build the core of that team. It seems like they were on the same route as Philadelphia. They wanted to build offensive linemen. Hopefully they're going to go after defensive linemen and a running back in the draft. And that, I'd like to see them just focus in on that, you know, try and get a good running game going. And, you know,
they're still going to want that, Bill. You're absolutely right. They want the physical pounding running game, but they're going to need someone else to do it. Thanks for the call. Jeff, so they have a first-round pick. They don't have a second. Do you think that'll change before the draft? And they have, let's say they go in first and third. Those are the first two picks of the first 2 days. That's all they got. Both defensive players? Do you go wide receiver? You got to address the defensive line, though, first and foremost.
I mean, I would love to get them back in the second round, and I have no issue. I love the trade for Metcalf, so I'm not complaining that they traded a second rounder for him. But I would like to see them. I mean, they're going to have four compensatory picks next year. You know, make a move, unless you're saving it all for next year. Make a move, add a player to it, get yourself into the second round, because you have a lot of needs of guys that are going to be second round players. Guys like Travion Henderson, for example, the running back from Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Or a wide receiver or a defensive lineman if you go, you know, corner or wide receiver in the first round. I mean, I would like to see them get into that second round because I think they have needs. And that's why people say, oh, just take a run at Milroe in the third. Well, if you don't have a second round pick, I don't want to waste a pick on a quarterback that maybe would be something, but probably 95% he won't be. So give me a defensive lineman or a running back or a wide receiver that or a corner that I can work with and try to make something out of.
See, this is why I wanted Fields all along. And I think they did too. They extended an offer, but you had to complete that deal because if you did, you'd know exactly where you are financially. You could have done maybe more in free agency. And you also know that now you could build the other foundational pieces that you need, knowing that next year you can still draft if Fields doesn't work out. If he does, you still can draft. You can have more people in there, but you take care of the fundamental stuff they need. Mel Blount was pretty honest on the Ben Roethlisberger football and podcast where he said you take TJ away from this defense and you don't have much. And that's true. Mm-hmm. They haven't done it on biggest games. They just did not come up with big defensive plays.
And I think it was Bill, the name of the caller. He said that, you know, about the money that they have. Well, use some of that money. There aren't that many good young free agents where you could go spend a lot of that money on. Mm-hmm. Spend it on TJ's extension. Front load it, put it up against this cap. Don't sign Aaron and use up so much of that money. Just put Mason out there and another serviceable backup quarterback and roll through it with the season. But know that a lot of TJ's salary is going to be taken care of. So next year and the year after, you'll have more money to be able to sign guys when hopefully you find that quarterback. And Bob, we've talked about this. I think what you can look back in Steeler history and is in 01, they were in the AFC Championship game, right? The next couple of years, they didn't go hunting or reaching for a quarterback. They rebuilt their base. So in 04, mm-hmm. after going with Tommy Maddox and going 6-10, they were able to get Ben Roethlisberger. And what do you know? Once they got Ben, they were a ready-made team for 3 Super Bowls in 6 years.
That's how to
do it. So spend your offseason just building that base, finding all those other players. The worst thing you could do is go reach for a quarterback because then you're just going to be spinning your wheels.
All right, 412-928-9370. Before I go, we're going to take a break here shortly. Real quick, we got the March Madness also happening today, the first day of opening day in baseball. Some very interesting matchups. We see so far all these number one seeds are still alive and well. Normally at this point you have one of them knocked out, but there haven't been all that many upsets. Of the number ones, Auburn, Houston, Florida, and Duke, which is most likely to get knocked out this week?
Auburn.
So you think Michigan will beat them?
I think they've been the sketchiest of the four. I know Florida was in a tight game with UConn, but UConn's a defending champ. I think Houston's defense is. I think Houston is just good, and even though the ACC has been a disaster this year, I think Duke is a really good team.
Duke is a really good team, and they got the best player, and he's playing. He's not showing any signs of that injury. One other question for you, Jeff. Of the teams that are not looked at as teams that are, ready made to win a championship, but here they are. They're still playing. You got 10 Arkansas against Texas Tech, You have six BYU and you have six Ole Miss. Which one?
Oh, man, BYU can score. They're fun to watch because they can score. I love the Calipari. Just the thought of Calipari leaving a place like Kentucky and all those fans that thought he couldn't coach anymore and to go to a conference rival and to continue his run. So I'm kind of biased to Calipari because I'm enjoying that to this point he's silenced at least a little bit some of his critics that, oh, he can't coach, it was all about the players. I would love to see him. So I'm rooting for Arkansas to go on tour.
Yeah, I am too.
On a run.
But BYU,
but Thiro's really, going to be key to that.
Yeah. Is he
going to
play?
What can he bring you?
BYU is interesting to me. They got shooters, but they also have a sneaky good rebounding collective. They know how to get the – and they're not, you know, by nature, a good rebounding team if you look at the overall. But when they have to, they know how to get to the second shot opportunities.
What do you think, Lemons?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of those, like, sleeper teams, I think Arkansas is going to the Elite Eight. And they have a good, favorable matchup. I like it for Calipari, just everything that he went through over the last couple of years at Kentucky, the Oakland game, the St. Peter's game. I'm glad to see him back finding success, especially as the only double-digit seed. I do agree with you that Auburn is a little bit shaky. I think the same thing with Houston. Duke, at this point, I'm thinking, might just run through the tournament until they get to the Final Four, and then we'll face some pretty competitive games. I don't feel really good about Arizona, giving them a game in the last 5 minutes. And the other number one seed is
Florida. And I like Florida. They don't have a weakness. I don't think so.
I mean, they've been tested in the toughest conference.
Right. That's a good, deep team. Really well-balanced team. I could see going to the Final Four.
The thing I like about Duke beyond Flag is the fact that when you see their defense, their perimeter defense, it seems like their arms stretch from one end of the court to the other. Like, they've got so much length, and they are so hard to get passes around or to penetrate against. That's the hidden thing to me. I mean, Cooper Flagg's insane, but their defense can be very challenging.
So let me ask you something about Cooper Flagg, you guys. He makes $4.8 million this year in NIL money. Is it worth his time to come back for another year at Duke? I mean, he can come back.
He's due a raise, right?
He's due a raise, and he won't get that when he first goes to the NBA, although, you know, eventually he would. He will go to the NBA, obviously. But, I mean, is this the year for him to do it, or does he come back for another? Say he likes college. Say, I want to get another year of college. This is the part of my life that I don't want to pass up. What would you do?
Man, if I was Cooper Flagg,
you're going to be drafted by Washington Wizard, or whatever they're called now.
And play with Bob.
Yeah.
I would root for that. I would like to. Bub's starting to play some basketball. I'd love to see him have Cooper Flagg on his team.
And they signed Champagne to an extension as well. So
yeah, but they're not necessarily. If you want to control your destiny, you may not want to go there. That's
no.
What I'm saying.
Or you could go to Charlotte, and that's been a little bit of a disaster as well from afar. If I was Cooper Flagg, honestly, I would go back to Duke. You know, you're going to be the number one pick in the future anyway. Like, you are. Like, you're that good. You're that talented. You're that dominant. If you really like going to college, you know, getting the education, the college experience that so many NBA guys, one and done guys, just don't get. And maybe they don't go to a college for that. If he likes just the experience and playing for that coaching staff and playing college ball while making $4 million, I'm sure they'll up it to right around $6 million. Somebody will end up just bringing him a bag to be able to stay. I'd stay. Why not? Enjoy it while you have it.
I would too. One more year. And then I go.
I wouldn't want to go to classes. Like,
is he going to classes? I mean, maybe he's not.
I'm assuming he's going. Like, I wouldn't want to deal with all the classes. Like, give me the money where I don't have to deal with homeworks and midterms and finals. And
let me ask you something. In the NIL era, do you have to do that anyway?
Go to class?
Yeah.
I think so.
How about if
so?
You say I go, but I don't really care what I do in it. You just go.
I mean, I'm not naive enough to think that some of these Zoom classes these guys are on are like actual classes, but I still think that's a requirement for NCAA.
All right, I'm just wondering
players.
With all this money that's coming in.
And I would hope at an institution like Duke that they would, you know,
you would
make their guys go to class.
All right, that's going to be interesting to see what Duke does in their next matchup against Arizona. Arizona's a sneaky good team as well, but they may be out of their league there. And then a lot of people are buying Michigan State, you know, to win the whole thing. I don't know if they're capable of that, but they are a 2 seed and they're taking on Ole Miss.
Limit saw them. Up close. They've got athleticism, man.
I did with my Michigan State hoodie that I was wearing that Pony made a big deal of. Izzo. January, February, Izzo, Jeff. and they're really putting it together. I like Holloman coming off their bench. Jace Richardson, for them, did not have much of a good game at all. Jason Richardson's son, until like the final 5 minutes when they really needed him to step up. He was like 0 of 8 to start that game. Jaden Akins can really play. Fears can play. I worry about their bigs. Their bigs are not that talented and not that great. They fit a role, though. If Izzo in this 30th year for him can get it done, hey, I could see him going out on top.
Last time they won a title, it started in Cleveland.
That's right. If you're going to look at that direction, it could be that.
By the way, he had a great line the other day. He's like, yeah, I got to recruit up here. He's like, we have 11 months of winter, and then in the other month, it's kind of iffy sledding.
I have Duke and Michigan State in my national championship game. With Duke winning.
Still alive. Do you have your teams alive, Jeff?
My final four teams. Everyone else is. I believed in Clemson. Yeah. I believed in Louisville. Yeah. My daughter, I helped my daughter with her bracket for work. And after the first day, she just texted me with a sad emoji.
That's how mine is every year.
Yeah. I'm like,
because you're always thinking,
why did you ask me? You picked this better than me.
Beautiful day outside. Hope you're out enjoying it. And if you're riding around, always remember this number is valid all day long. You can call and talk to any of the hosts here at 412-928-9370. So Jeff Hathorne here in studio, Austin Bechtel behind the glass. We're talking about Ovechkin now. And I know we had Tyler Kennedy in here this morning, and he would not like to see the goal that surpasses Wayne Gretzky here in Pittsburgh on the final day of the regular season. He would go so far as to not to pull a goaltender if you were down and you needed a goal to tie the game. I'm not going that fast. I want to try to win the game just because that's how you're supposed to play it. And if he gets an empty net, so be it. I'm sure Ovechkin would rather not have it that way. But if he has it that way, how many empty nets have he scored? Crosby, I mean, they all score empty net goals. It's part of the game.
Yeah, play to win the game. Don't do anything tricky. Don't on either end to kind of allow him to score or do something where you're going to have everybody playing in the defensive zone when you're down three.
Right.
You know, like
protecting,
just play,
protecting the net. Just,
right, yeah.
Everyone just is in the net. You're
right.
Not scoring.
Yeah. Play to win the game. I hope for the league that he doesn't get it this year. So the offseason is filled with Ovechkin talk, when he breaks the record, comparing him to Gretzky. Anything that for the NHL that can keep their name out there, I'm for. Much like, you know, way back when Hank Aaron didn't have to wait a whole offseason because he broke it in April.
Yeah, it was early against Al Downing and the Mets or the Dodgers, yeah.
So let it be the same way with Ovechkin. Not that I want to torture him, but have him wait so there's discussion about, is he better? Like, let all those type of things happen in the off season.
Yeah, you know, bottom line is I want to see it personally. Do you, as someone who covers sports?
Man, I'd like to see it.
I do.
It's like a 4-1 Penguin win, and that's the only goal for Washington? Then, okay.
However he gets it. I mean, I think it would be intriguing. Do you think he'll get it before he comes to Pittsburgh?
Man, he's been hot.
He's been real hot.
And they're clinched.
And they win a lot of games, yeah. So they get empty net chances almost every night.
And they're already in the playoffs.
Are
so there's
you
a, no
are
pressure.
You bullish about the Capitals as a team? They've done things that I didn't think were capable, but they play really well together.
I think the two Florida teams might be the two best teams in the East. And maybe I'm judging that based on, you know, the Penguins' opportunities against them. But I mean, who else in the East? I mean, Washington's in first place. I don't think the Metro is very good.
No, I thought it was at the beginning of the season, but it's been a disappointment since.
I mean, I don't think the Rangers or Islanders are that good. Columbus has some young talent, but they're not tested. The Devils have so many injuries. And then on the other side, I mean, yeah, there's just no one that excites me besides the two Florida teams.
Yeah, and specifically Tampa Bay. I think Tampa Bay is really playing at a high level.
I think Panthers
are
a good.
I do,
too.
But Vasilevsky's got his game back. He was shaky a little bit at the beginning of the season. So Crosby, 1 point away. He gets it tonight, right? They're in Buffalo against the Sabres. That's not a good hockey club.
I mean, I would hope from a Penguin standpoint that Sid could wait. Just have an off night or today. And that way, you know, when he comes, because they're home on Sunday, right?
Right.
Let him do it at home.
That would be better, but you know, he's going to play the game because that's how he does it. So I don't think that's – and that line's been pretty hot.
It's hard to think that they would get shut out in Buffalo.
No, they're not going to get shut out in Buffalo. Buffalo is just one of those teams. It's going to be probably a high-scoring game. They got some pretty good talent over there, so we'll see how that goes. But Pirate predictions, Jeff, before I let you go here, Austin, what did you have in your Timecast where you did yesterday?
78 and 84. You know, I was very flexible with that number. Like, I would have been completely fine moving it up to even 82 wins if they added another bat before the start of the season. I mean, ideally two. But if they would have added one bat, like, and I wanted a shortstop. I think IKF is a better Josh Harrison utility type of guy. If they would have done that, I would have moved it up, but I'm at 78.
How about you, Jeff? I think 80. I'm going to go 80 and 82 because I think they have the pitching to be in a lot of games. If they get some sort of offense, and I got to believe somebody's going to have a better year than we all think, and they get those hits, and they could win 80, and I think they could be in the wild card chase most of the year.
When's the last time the Pirates had a somewhat, let alone proven, somewhat proven first baseman in their prime?
In their prime?
In their prime. My. I mean, maybe Josh Bell, but he was a horrible fielder. But he was a DH that they had to put at first base at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Kevin Young? Like, seriously, when's the last time? So to Austin's point, like, I go in and I'm like, why couldn't they have spent any money on a first baseman and not Spencer Horowitz, who's unproven? Maybe he'll turn out to be great. But even in the time it would take him to have that opportunity, like, have some, even if it's a one-year guy, you only got Skeens for so long. So until they do more, until they make a trade in season to shore up some of their issues, I say same number of wins as last year. I'm 76.
Yeah, I mean, they're in that same ballpark, and they haven't done anything to spike that a little bit. I think if they had, you would have seen people, especially not knowing Jared Jones' situation as it developed, would have thought maybe they could be. And I still think for them, they have to make the playoffs, or else there should be a lot of introspection about where this group is going as a management group, because it's year six, Jeff. There are a lot of teams that get involved. You should be good enough to at least be in the conversation at the trade deadline and beyond.
I mean, unless they deal with just massive injuries, I would tend to agree with you, Bob, that there have to be some changes because they've tried it. They tore it down. They have a couple of prospects, but the thing that's disappointing to me, and I think we all believed, all right, Charrington's coming in, he's tearing it down, and he talked about kind of a Florida-type model where you tear it down and then you have a year or two or three where you have a window and you go for it and you spend money. Well, we saw them tear it down. We saw them get the best pitcher in the game. He was available to them in the draft. They picked him. He's the talk of the league, and they didn't do anything around him except get some nickel and dime free agents.
All right. Well, before we go, let's get to the phone lines. People have been waiting here before we sign off. Mark in Fort Lauderdale, make it quick, please.
On the way to the ballpark, it's a great day.
Nice.
Broncos and Marlins, you can't beat that. The thing I think the key for the Pirates this year is the four guys in Indianapolis, how fast they can get them there. Ashcraft, Barco, Chandler, and I think if you got to get those guys so big, Harrington. You got to get those four guys are the whether Ben Charrington have a job next year in Pittsburgh or not.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate
That's
that.
A good call. Ashcraft's a really sneaky.
Even Mike Burrows came with his injury. Now, hopefully, he's something. One more call, Austin, before we go.
Here is Ryan in New Jersey.
Ryan, you have a minute.
Bob, real quick. One of the things I would like to see this year, I'm not a Pirates fan. I've never been a Pirates fan, but Pittsburgh needs a good team. I hope they have a good season, can win 83, 85 games, because the desperation on the badly run football team is driving me nuts from afar. So I just hope they put something together, get a little more than they expect. Have a good day, guys.
Thanks, Ryan. You too. And I will say this, division is winnable. I really don't see a team that's going to run away with this. Do you?
No, I think the Reds are a little better.
I think they're a lot better.
I think the Cubs are better. Maybe I'm just think too much about St. Louis and their history to think that they won't be good. And Milwaukee's going to take a dip. Are they going to take a dive, or are they going to take a dip?
Well, they've been able to trade key players and still be good. They got some young guys. Jackson Churio's a guy that, you know, they did something with him that maybe the Pirates should at least discuss with Skeens at this point. You know, what is he, 20 years old, and they gave him an 8-year contract?
But, Bob, to your point, you don't have the Dodgers or the Yankees or the Mets in your division that are spending insane amounts of money. Like, there is a chance there. And I would hope this. I would hope there's so much pressure from outside and that Skeens would get so frustrated if they're winning and he sees holes that they have to go out and make trades before the trade deadline if they're in it.
Yeah, I think that would be great, and hopefully we'll have a good summer to talk about some baseball. Jeff, as always, thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
You are one of the busiest guys I know. Jeff's everywhere. You know that, Austin.
Fun. Everywhere. Mean,
he is. He loves sports, and he does it every day, and it shows. Thank you, Jeff Hathorne. All right, before we go here, I just want one other note, and wanted to ask you real quick. Tortorella fired. We started the show with this. Are you surprised?
No, I hope for some media outlets somewhere that he gets hired again, because, I mean, he is just, he's a piece of work.
He's a character, but it's also an indictment of him that he can't coach these guys. He can say they're bad guys. We don't have a lot of material, but you're coaching them too.
Listen, a buddy of mine is the Dan Potash of Columbus, and he said that Torts was a really good guy. He said he does what he does in news conferences, but he liked the man. So I think NHL coaches circulate.
They do.
I think he'll find another opportunity.
They resurface, too. A lot of them. Retreads, whatever you want to call them. All right, Jeff, thanks very much.
Thanks, Bob.
I want to tell you the 50-minute mark on the fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Social media's biggest loser, Malzy. I'm supposed to say that. Not that I believe that, Malzy, but I'm saying that because it's written down here, Austin.
No, Malzy was really good with the Waken 180. That's why he's the biggest loser.
Okay, well, explains it,
right,
then.
Jeff?
Okay, but that makes it sound differently if you didn't know that.
Well, Joe might make it
sound
differently.
Yes, he's now svelte. So, yes, he is the biggest loser. Brought to you by Waken 180. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. What's cooking? Brought to you by your local GEICO rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
And that's going to do it for us. The PM team guys will be here, and they'll have a lot to get into. Up until Pirate Baseball, Dan Zangrilli is your host today. As the Pirates make their way to Miami, that'll start at 3. The game a little after 4. Paul Skeens looking to get things off, and they did last year when they got off to a 5-1 start. This Miami team's no good. Hopefully they could do that and get some hype coming into their home opening series against the Yankees. I'm excited about that, Jeff.
I picked them to be 10 games under 500, but I'm still excited about baseball. I want to see how it plays out. There is a path for them to be good, and hopefully all those things click and they're better.
That's what we can hope for. You'll get it started today right here on your home for Pittsburgh Pirate Baseball, 93.7 The Fan. For Austin Bechtel, I'm Bob Pompiani. Jeff, we'll see you along the next couple of days, and who knows? Maybe we'll have something good to talk about in the next couple of weeks when they come home and sweep the Yankees. How about that for a prediction?
No. I'm all for that. Let's go.
You got Heaney, you got Falter, and you got Majinski potentially going against those three Yankee teams, right?
I love your optimism, Bob. Yeah,
I don't know if I believe that. But hopefully, they'll at least be over 500 coming home. I'm looking forward to baseball season like everyone else. Thanks for joining us. Joe Starkey's down there in Florida enjoying the sun. We'll find out what he did over the weekend when we see you on Monday night for another edition of the Pomp and Joe Show. Have a great weekend, everyone.